Welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Dingman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Dingman, and I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Holy cats, we are rolling, moving, walking, whatever, forward. We've had a lot of work with advocacy over the last week.
It has been tiring, empowering, and incredibly, incredibly humbling. It's just been really good to connect with our legislators, to connect with our community, our MS community. What was it, Dan? 200 fellow activists meeting us in Washington, D.C.
That's nearly 200, about approximately, yes, but 200 activists on Capitol Hill. Wow.
Wow. And they weren't just meeting us. They were meeting us all together, us being a big capital U, us. And it was really amazing and tiring, like I said. So we did that.
And then we were down in Lansing. I mean, that's like two places in 1 week.
Advocating, sharing our story, talking about the reality of life with multiple sclerosis.
How are you feeling then? I mean, now that we're here, I mean, this is, I mean, because last time on our podcast, we talked with Kathy Chester, and that was a lot of fun. And now we are doing an advocacy. Are you exhausted? Have you caught up?
Well, let's be honest, Dan. The last time we flew on an airplane was almost exactly 3 years ago. We flew out for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society Public Policy Conference, which will probably be referred to as PPC from here on out. But we flew out for PPC 3 years ago, and then this little thing called COVID happened. So we didn't go anywhere. We weren't on flights. So we had 3 years to stew and make ourselves nervous. Okay, maybe I'm the one that stewed and made myself nervous. But I was full of nervousness and anxiety.
Really?
Hush. And so I'm feeling very relieved and calm and very much like I accomplished something more than just advocacy, but I mentally, I did something that I was a little nervous. I don't understand why, but when you have 3 years to stew and think about flying is such a big deal, then you make it worse in your head. So that's, I guess, that was a long answer to say I'm relieved and I feel very accomplished. How are you doing?
I feel relieved and accomplished. I didn't think it would go as well. Obviously, anytime we go to PPC, anytime we advocate, it's always empowering, but there were so many things that had to happen just to get to Washington, D.C. And those are things that I was hoping it would be like riding a bike, that everything that comes with us traveling and flying with a wheelchair would come back naturally. And fortunately, it did. But again, the angst, can I use angst?
I think absolutely.
Then I will. The angst that you have when it comes to flying with a wheelchair. And then too, Jennifer, I haven't flown, and the amount of walking that's involved on Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. the amount of walking in the airport to mm-hmm. and from everything, and still to have the energy to help you with transfers and things. I can say this now because obviously I have to put on a brave face going up, and I was never dishonest with you about it. I was scared for myself, just saying, am I going to be able to maintain that level of, can I say, I'm asking you for permission to use words, but it's like that, to maintain that physicality, to be able to do all of that. I was concerned, but I didn't want to lead on.
And I appreciate that you didn't lead on. I think we let's be really honest with everyone out there. Up until maybe 48 hours before the event, both Dan and I were saying, you know, if you didn't want to go, we could not go. I mean, they would understand. We don't have to do this. We have multiple sclerosis. Never mind, there was an insurrection and COVID, and then we have MS, and we're 3 years older, and we haven't flown. So there was a lot of trepidation on both of our parts. Then you're right, you never really said, oh, I don't want to go. And I never said, I don't want to go. We heard a sermon at our church, and we had a guest pastor, and she spoke amazing words, and Dan and I looked at each other, and this was probably 8 weeks before PPC, and we just turned to each other and said, we're going. And that happened, and from that point on, we said we were going, but then even up to 2 days before, we were still like, are you sure? Are you sure? But we bought the orange luggage. And
we needed new luggage. And so it's like, why not buy orange? Because we're in the middle of MS Awareness Week or MS Awareness Month. And that was right at the precipice of MS Awareness Week. So, of course, why not go orange with our luggage?
And that just, you know, then let's buy some new clothes and let's, you know, let's do this. We remember how to do this. And so while I was certainly nervous and you had a little bit of, come to find out, a little bit of concern yourself, we were full steam ahead. Like, we can do this. And, you know, and maybe we'll never get the opportunity again. And we want to take advantage of it. We hadn't done it in 3 years. And with the insurrection, we both thought, oh, we're never going to DC again. But now here's our opportunity. Let's not miss this.
And I'm so glad now everything went well, everything as we expected and hoped. And we did a lot of great work with other activists on Capitol Hill that day. And so, just quick nutshell of what public policy conference is. We go to Washington, D.C. with other MS activists, and we go to conferences, and there are issues that we then are educated on and learn about and do everything to go back and forth to be able to tell our story in meeting with our legislators and talking about what action we want them to take and how they can help in the effort to make life better for people living with multiple sclerosis. And this year, we had two issues, and one of them was huge as far as even the reason that we were so apprehensive about going. Jennifer, tell our listeners, what were the two issues that we brought up to Capitol Hill?
Specifically, we were there asking legislators to co-sponsor the Air Carrier Access Amendments Act, which was H.R. 1267, excuse me, Senate Bill 545. And we were also asking our officials to support $22 million for the MS Research Program, will be referred to as MSRP, at the Department of Defense, and $7.5 million for the VA MS Centers for Excellence in 2024. So those were the two issues, the air carrier access and the VA Centers for Excellence in that multiple sclerosis research program.
And we will have information about all of this legislation that we had talked about on Capitol Hill with our legislators. We'll have links and information about that in the liner notes for this podcast, and we also have an essay about it on our blog, acoupledakesonms.com, where we dissect the information and have lots of really picture story about the day on Capitol Hill and where we go from here. And so the air carriers, or the access, the Air Carrier Access Amendment Act. This was very, very close to our heart in terms of what this means for the travel with a wheelchair and why we were so scared. I mean, what does this particular legislation do, and why does this make such a difference for you, for me?
Well, I'm going to start it off with the big light bulb moment for me when we were at PPC sitting in our group with fellow activists, and we heard that the Americans with Disabilities Act does not cover airplanes. Huh? So the ADA, the airplanes, airlines do not have to be ADA compliant, which is a shame. And so for us, you know, I use a mobility aid as we talk about them rolling. I'm in a power wheelchair. And so for me to get on an airline to fly, I have to be, if you've ever wondered how does a person in a wheelchair fly, I have to be picked up from my power chair because I cannot stand on my own, put into an aisle chair, rolled onto the plane, then picked up again and put into my airplane seat. So by the time I get to Washington, D.C., I've had numerous transfers. I've had a multitude of people having to pick me up. And never mind the fact that my wheelchair, my legs, if you want to, like I'm air quoting, my legs are put under the plane and just say a prayer. Like, I hope that they will be returned to me in the condition where I drop them off. So this legislation is trying to look to see if there can be a better way for people in wheelchairs and power chairs to do that. And there can be across the board, maybe training. And that's selfish. I talked about me and my wheelchair, but I have friends, others, probably those of you listening in the MS community or any sort of disabled community. If you use a walker, for instance, you have to give your walker away, and that gets stowed under the airplane, and it could be damaged. God forbid it's lost or doesn't make a connecting flight. So that legislation is going to address that, just how disabled people need to have we need to be considered, and our needs need to be met. I mean, you know, if you don't have your walker, what are you supposed to do when you're on an airplane? If you have to go to the bathroom, you can't use that probably to begin with because the aisles are so narrow. But when your plane lands, you have to, what do? You just have to wait. I mean, those issues need to be addressed. And I have flown numerous times and I've been very lucky, and I don't want to say that I haven't been, but my chair has been damaged. Dan and I have had numerous, you know, not like broken forever, but there have been times where things have gotten disconnected. And so we want this legislation to look at that. And forgive me, this is a huge, very passionate about this issue, because I just can't imagine not being able to fly. But I want to be able to fly safely. And safety has got to be a huge issue to be addressed for people with disabilities.
And that's where this became such a big issue for us, for me. I mean, in the sense that there's always that feeling once your wheelchair is taken away, it's like, you know, and how does the transfer go from your wheelchair into the aisle chair? And then once you finally land to where you are, there's always that just apprehension and just fear of like, A, what if the wheelchair doesn't make it to the destination? What if the wheelchair is broken or arms? I mean, because obviously you see the worst of the worst on social media, YouTube, where there is like significant damage. And thereby, you know, when you had said something to me that it's like, how many other people, if they were to fly and knew there was a risk that when they showed up at their destination, that both of their legs would be broken. I mean, that's essentially what happens if your wheelchair is damaged. And so, yeah, there's this huge relief when you actually get to where you're supposed to be and your wheelchair, A, makes it and is intact. I mean, that's where we, you know, we take the legs off your wheelchair just so you don't have any, for lack of better terms, like appendages sticking out that would make it easier to break. I mean, because you're talking, your grape ape wheelchair weighs, was it 350 pounds?
Yes, 350 pounds.
And I think it is just the education, the training, A, training and teaching airline workers how to properly transfer you in, out of your wheelchair into an aisle chair and then into the airplane chair, but then also training people to properly lift and stow your wheelchair so that it doesn't get damaged.
And we, both Dan and I, we've never thought that this is malicious, that if something happens to my chair, like that people are being negligent on purpose. I mean, if you've flown before, you realize just how busy and tight the schedule is, especially now our airlines are swamped. But there needs to be recognition that these wheelchairs, these canes, these walkers, these are essential pieces of equipment. And it is, not to be dramatic, Dan, but it would be like breaking someone's leg when they got off a plane if their chair is not there. So again, I'm passionate about this issue and you are too. And so we met with legislators and it was good. And the legislators, they understand. They see what our issues are and they try and put themselves in our shoes. And I hope that we get some good movement on this, some good traction, and that legislators and airlines, we can work out something. You know, however, don't leave this population of disabled Americans, disabled people out of the conversation, so we can travel just like anyone else.
The other topic we had brought up was with the research funding. That's where the MSRP is a really, really a big deal, because that is the only source of federal money that goes specifically directly for multiple sclerosis research. And that's, we've made tremendous strides in research to help. See, I'm flipping my pages here just so I get all the information. But it's just the amount of everything that's happened for MS research since the onset of the MSRP. And I think that's what's really, really what empowered me, is just knowing when we went to the legislators and asking them for federal funding for MS research. It's not like we as people with multiple sclerosis or the MS Society or other organization are sitting around just waiting for the money to come in from federal. I mean, we're out there every year walking, bike riding, raising funds for research specifically. So it's like we could use a little help. And I think that's where this is really important, because it's not part of a shared pot with the NIH or other research organizations or other research kind of things where it's by chance it affects MS. This is specifically for us.
And it's the only, you know, it's just that money, because so many Americans are living with multiple sclerosis, it's nice to know that this research is happening, and it's happening at the Department of Defense. And we're asking, this year we asked for an additional $2 million, and it had been funded at $20 million. And so in 2024, we're asking for $22 million. And that's important. And a lot of medication, you know, we talk about when Dan and I were first diagnosed, there were only 3 drugs available to treat. And certainly it doesn't cure the disease, but it slows the severity, or it lessens the severity, slows the progression of the disease. But all of that research, a lot of that funding comes through the MSRP. And now we have over 25 medications available. And there's drugs for primary progressive multiple sclerosis. Those harder to treat conditions or forms of MS. And so that funding stream is so important.
And the other funding was for their the 2 VA MS centers of excellence. And they were established in 2003 to further understand MS and the impact to veterans. And now it's just the number of veterans who are diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I mean, currently it's funded at like 4.5 million. And it's just asking for that increased amount because of the increased number of veterans, just to be able to look. And that's where with veterans, I know that we've talked in the podcast earlier about the Epstein-Barr virus and just how that research has ventured, and they were able to track things with veterans because the veterans have to be monitored health-wise anyway. And so they have all of that data, and so they're able to track that with multiple sclerosis. And so whereas like for just general non-military patients, you don't have that long record of health screenings and analysis to do that. And so I think that's where it's very important for the research and having that with veterans.
And so those were the 2 issues that we talked about while we were at Public Policy Conference. And it was a short 3-day visit, full of orange, full of good people. Dan, I feel comfortable speaking for you that we made incredible good connections, and we saw friends we hadn't seen in 3 years. And it was a very tiring event, but it was good. It was good stuff.
So then how did you feel then? Obviously the flights with everything and the travel, everything that we were freaked out about went well. But then at the core of it, did you have a good day on Capitol Hill in meeting with your legislators / who'd you meet with, and were you surprised by anything? It's like a fully loaded 10-part question.
But well, you have a knack at doing that, Dan.
I do. It's comprehensive that way. I used to be a reporter.
Yes. Well, you and I met with Congressman Dan Kildee from Flint, Michigan, and it was a great, great visit, and he gave us a lot of time. In fact, all of our legislators gave us a lot of time. We met with Congressman John Molinar's aide, Ed Kim, and he gave us a lot of time. And while we were walking to the congressman's office, we saw him rushing off because they were doing a vote. And he recognized us and took a second and paused as he rushed away. So that was good. And then we met with Senator Gary Peters' office, and we met with his aide, and
Victoria Houston.
Yes, Victoria Houston. Sorry, I neglected to mention her name, but she gave us quite a bit of time, and she shared her stories, and all the legislators. It was just, they were really good visits. And when you are thinking, do I really want to go to Washington, D.C., 48 hours before your trip, and then you go and you have visits like that, you're saying, shoot dang, when are we going back? back. That was really good. That was good impact. Did I answer your...
My eight-part question.
Your eight-part question.
Yeah, I think it's just where everything, I mean, for everything we feared with, you know, post-insurrection being on Capitol Hill, it was, I didn't really notice much difference between pandemic and insurrection. I think that that's just, it felt very, very safe and very, just very engaging and empowering.
I think one of the things I was most happy is that you wore tennis shoes. You normally would wear uncomfortable, dressy shoes. And you've said, these tennis shoes, I'm going to do a lot of walking. I have MS. So Dan wore very cute shoes. And he wore tennis shoes. And as a matter of fact, when we were with Congressman Kilby, he laughed. He said, I'm wearing tennis shoes myself. He had on a comfy pair of shoes. Legislators have to do a lot of walking. And maybe that's an upside of COVID that we're a little... Still, everyone was dressed nicely and appropriately, but just a little more understanding.
Exactly. I think that that's just where, because I think he had surgery or something and just needed to have the shoes to make the walk. And so I never could have made that walk on Capitol Hill to go from the House side to the Senate side and back and all that other stuff in my dress shoes. So... It was comfortability, I guess. So that did work, and so we did all that in DC, and then we just decided, well, heck, let's just come back to Michigan and let's do more advocacy and legislative things. And this is something where we had started something back in February and sending a letter to our state senator Roger Houck with verbiage to say something about passing a proclamation declaring the week of May 12th to the...
No, March.
March. Oh, yeah. So, see, we're You're working wishful, so far, so far thinking. Into the future.
Wishful thinking.
But March 12th to the 18th as Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Week in the state of Michigan. And some back and forth and working with his legislative aide, Mitchell, that actually came to fruition. And we went down to Lansing on March 15th and watch and met with Senator Houck beforehand, and that they in the Senate officially adopted the proclamation. What number was that, Jennifer?
19.
Yes, I thought you had it written down.
No.
It was proclamation 19 declaring March.
There we go.
March 12th to the 18th as MS Awareness Week in Michigan. That was pretty humbling.
That was big, but I hope everyone listening caught that Dan started this conversation with the senator's office back in February. And so it takes some time. You may get, you may not get the instant response you expect. We were lucky, I have to say, that we did get an instant response. But it takes time for things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And with advocacy, that's one lesson. I mean, how many years have we gone, Dan, to Washington, D.C. and been fortunate to do that? But we've talked about that issue of MSRP funding. I mean, you have to keep an eye on it, and you have to be patient and persistent. The two P's, I think. That's really important. And just even here at the state, we had to send the senator's office a letter saying we wanted to get this done. And then we had to follow up, and there were phone calls. It's a lot of work, but when you're passionate, as you and I are, about multiple sclerosis, thank you, Dan. You made this happen for us.
Well, and we made it happen. And I think this is something where, and I will encourage everybody out there, because advocacy is something that's very empowering, and it's not just about Dan and Jennifer. We said, there's like there were, you know, nearly 200 activists nationwide who went to Capitol Hill, and how many others here in Michigan to advocate. It's like, we can always use more activists, more advocates. And if you go to our website to the post about our work and advocacy over the last week, go to a couple takes on MS.com. There's information in there about how you can get involved as an MS activist. And I mean, it's really empowering. And a lot of times the work, the background work is done for you. So when we're barking out things like Senate bill this and House bill this and everything, that's research that the society is doing for us. And we can hit the ground running because it's really your story that makes the difference with the legislators, and it's storytelling and giving them that information. And it's always humbling that, you know, your work and your story can make such a difference,
and that we could connect with legislators and connect with other people. I think that's very important. And now, you know, we're back from Washington, D.C. We had our plane trip and it went well. And so now I have something new I can start fretting about.
What's that, babe?
I had mentioned it previously, but I am participating in the Threads fashion show at Central Michigan University.
So you're like a model.
I'm a model. On April 15th, and there will be information in the liner notes of this podcast. And just in case you don't live in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, but you want to watch this amazing fashion show, it will be live streamed. We'll have information on that. So essentially, it's Central Michigan University's design students that are making the clothing. And I have a wonderful designer named Grace who has designed my outfit. So it's accessible and it works in my wheelchair. So she's got for the win. She gets to design a non-traditional model who is a little bit older, a little bit heavier, and a lot more disabled than most models. And so I'm super excited that I get to work with her. And I also am working with two other wonderful women, two students, Savannah and Haley. And I met with them today, as a matter of fact, all three of them, and their instructor, Sue, for my second fitting. Because, babe, this is happening.
This is real.
I'm going to model on April 15th. So I can fret about that for just like another a month. And just worry about that. But it's going to be really good because I am going to bring visibility to disability. I deserve to be on that stage. But the disabled. How about that? So it sounds a little less like me, but disabled.
You deserve this.
Like disability deserves to have a seat at the table when it comes to airplanes, and we deserve to have a spot on the runway, and I hope to represent our community well.
And I think that's what's so awesome about this is this with Threads, and this is their 25th show, 25th annual, really. But just that they are including accessible fashion, and that's, you know, it's very inclusive, and this is just where things are going. So yes, you, the big why for the, you know, disabled community, deserve, like you say, a place at the table. So I'm very excited, and we will continue to talk about this, and there will be information in the liner notes, and we need to write blogs about this too, comma, babe.
Yeah, we will do that. I don't know. I don't know anyone out there listening. When you take a vacation and you get home and you're like, I need to take a vacation from my vacation. Like, I'm so tired. And so, you know, this has been epic experience of going to Washington, D.C., going to Lansing, and now continuing with threads, and you've worked this whole time. So never mind the fact that Dan has a full-time job and does all this advocacy and caregiving for me, because we're a married couple who are doing the best that we can. And right now we're cooking with Crisco.
And for me, I mean, keeps me energized is just that, and I believe it's 10 days to Springsteen in Detroit. But anyway,
woo-woo.
Yeah. So, but this has been, it's been an epic couple of weeks. And so we appreciate you all taking the time to listen to this and just hearing about our experiences in DC. And we really, really encourage you to go to our website, A Couple Takes on MS, to check out the blog post about that, to see what happened in the events in DC and to learn more about the legislative issues. And we'll have links to that in the liner notes. And also to just thank you for checking in.
Yeah, and don't forget with that, with the information Dan was talking about, there's a link to how you can get involved. Maybe you won't go to Washington, D.C. next year. Maybe you will. But you can write a letter to your editor. You can meet other activists, other advocates. So that link will be there, because we encourage you, even if you don't have multiple sclerosis, but you just care about someone in the MS community, you want to get your voice heard. So check out the blog. And
there'll also be a link to the MS activist thing on March 28th. What is that online?
Mm-hmm.
The name is failing me.
It's a rally day.
The online rally day. Yes. I believe it's 3 hours of just events and workshops and everything, all virtual, just to get people involved and just to learn more about advocacy. So we will have a link in the liner notes for this, to that event as well, just so that you can, you know, really just dip your toes in the water of advocacy. It's, and again, so empowering, and you just, the one thing that you can do is use your voice. So thank you all for listening again. This has been A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
And I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. So be sure to check us out, and we'll talk to you next time.